God's word this morning with Julie and Renee, and so glad for the opportunity to engage them as active participants in our worship, and knowing that they have spent some time reading God's word in practice to come, it's a good thing, and we're so thankful for that. This morning, as we come to God's word, I have three different passages from what you've already heard, but I want to just focus back for a brief moment on what you've heard from God's word already. In Ecclesiastes, has this wonderful short section that talks about two can be warm if they're together. Two can stand as strong if they're together. And later on it says even that a cord of three strands is not quickly or easily broken. Today, as we spend these moments together, I thank you for the possibility and the opportunity for this partnership. Let me describe to you another partnership that came along in the place that I came from almost 10 years ago. I had served as associate pastor at Capital Baptist Church in Salem, Oregon, and my partner pastor there was John Lipton, and John has and had done a wonderful job. He retired about a year ago. A wonderful job of just serving and caring for the people there. Much like us in our demographic and the experiences of that. And we had an opportunity that came to us from a Hispanic group that was pastored by a man named Boris Alfaro. Pastor Boris has become a very good friend, and I'm deeply grateful. He is a dynamic and exciting, hardworking Hispanic Baptist pastor. And he had planted a church that had begun to have some difficulties where they were meeting. Why? Because they were growing and the church that they were partnering with was not. And because of that, the church they were partnering with had begun to be very uncomfortable with some of the things that they felt were expected of them, or perhaps they were concerned that their space would be overrun or taken away or something. Who knows the reasons for that? Because that would require some amazing stuff. But the experience of that, as we met Pastor Boris and began to spend some time with him, we sat around our conference table and talked about how we would agree and how we would spend time together and what would happen as their church came and became a part of that. And that was at least 15 years ago, perhaps more. And they still are thriving together, those two churches, sharing that same space together. And Pastor Boris has not stopped there. He has planted several other churches around the city and nearby, and has actually himself a very significant relationship with the church planting team of the Northwest Baptist Convention. And so I have loved that. I have experienced some very, very healthy and happy relationships. I had opportunity personally to connect with a number of their people and just to partner with them in some fun activities. I'm excited for what will happen here as we partner with Ukrainian Baptist Church, and I'll probably get into the habit of just referring to them as UBC, all right? So if I say that, you know who I'm talking about. But as we begin this today, I felt like I'd come last week to the end of a series, and I felt like, well, this is a perfect time for me to just talk about partnership. And I think there is so much to be said about partnership. We partner as members of the body of Christ with people all over the world. And if you don't quite understand that, let me just describe that partnership with you. We, of course, have entered into a very unique and special partnership with UBC here today. And we're looking forward to the days ahead there. This church has partnered with other congregations along the way through the years, in years past. the only one that we have been a part of since my coming was a partnership that we allowed the Joel Gonzalez, and I can't even think of his of the name of their congregation right now. Somebody help me.
Olive Tree.
Yes, and thank you so much. Just for whatever reason that didn't come, but Pastor Joe, and many of you had known Pastor Joe as an interim pastor here prior to my coming, between the time that Pastor Myron Person was here and then when I came. And so we had a very good relationship with them, and they had a relatively small group that came in, but they enjoyed some wonderful experiences and shared some opportunities with us through observance of a Passover Seder, through some concerts that they invited people to come in and do. And that was always a very pleasant experience with Pastor Joe and his group, the Olive Tree community. And so those kinds of relationships that we've had are very, very positive. And then beyond that, we are people who partner with others who are like us in denomination. Now, I know a lot of times we don't like to talk about the differences between Christians, but we have settled and been established within the context of denominations for decades and decades, and I think you'd find centuries and centuries, because there have always been some differences in the way people interpret some scripture and various other things. Many of those we can have fellowship with on a fairly surface level because they are very clear about how a person is saved, that we come to faith in Christ. We come to a relationship of salvation in our relationship with God through putting our faith in Jesus Christ and knowing that it is His work. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so that seems to be one of the key verses that ties people together, and as we understand how people are saved. And as we think about that in our denominational life, we are a part of a local association of churches that's called the Inland Empire Baptist Association. We're a part of the Northwest Baptist Convention, which encompasses all of Washington, all of Oregon, and the northern part of Idaho, the panhandle of Idaho. And throughout the history of the Northwest Baptist Convention, we were a part of the beginning of the Canadian Baptist Convention years ago. And they are independent from us now, but we are still partners with them. And through that, we are also members of and partners with churches all over the country and all around the world who are a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as those who are beneficiaries of our mission organizations, the North American Mission Board, and also the International Mission Board, as we send missionaries around the world. Now, there are many other ways that we can partner, and there are other local partnerships sometimes that we have, but those are some of the key ways that we in our denomination know how we are connected. And we're grateful for that. And we're grateful for the relationships that have brought these brothers and sisters who will worship on Sunday afternoons to us and to this relationship of sharing our space. And so today I want to focus on three portions of scripture that talk about the realities of partnership throughout the scriptures. And I would like, first of all, to look in Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 27 through the first verse of chapter 5. It's not even a long passage, but important that we hear and see all of these as we think of this. So this is, as we think about the privilege of partnership, we have the reality of partnership of leaders. In Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 27. Would you stand with me as I read? Now the Lord had said to Aaron, "Go and meet Moses in the wilderness." So he went and met him in the mountain, at the mountain of God, and kissed him. Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and about all the signs he had commanded him to do. And then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the Israelites. Aaron repeated everything the Lord had said to Moses and performed the signs before the people. The people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had paid attention to them and that he had seen their misery, they knelt low and worshiped. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness." Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how it speaks to our lives. And we ask now that you will, through this time, be magnified, glorified, and lifted up as we worship you and allow your word to speak to us. Thank you, Father, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to just talk for a minute about the partnership of leaders. The partnership of leaders. One of the true benefits of being connected in a relationship with others in our denomination is the encouragement and support. I want to tell you that this morning, along about 8 o'clock, I received a text from our brother Zach Minton, who has participated in helping this partnership come together. You know what he said? It was just very simple, very short. He said, "I'm praying for you today, Steve." And I texted back real quickly. I said, "Thanks." I even misspelled it and got that word back to him. And to me, he is one of our fine partners that we have available to us as we connect with and relate through the relationships of other Southern Baptist churches throughout the Northwest, but particularly here in Eastern Washington. Some of the ways that we partnership here in Eastern Washington have to do with pastors' gatherings where we can receive encouragement from one another, sometimes teaching and instruction from one another. And those are very valuable things for your pastor. And so we partner together as leaders. We challenge each other. We encourage each other. We hold each other accountable, and we spend those times together. Much like in the life of our church, we gather together in our small groups, our Sunday school classes, our various other ways of meeting together in order to help us be accountable as we walk with Jesus, because it is so important that we walk with Jesus. Well, let me give you a little bit of context from Exodus for just a moment. Just prior to this portion in the book of Exodus, if you read the first four chapters, you're going to read about the victorious Exodus from Egypt. Of course, that's why the book is called Exodus. But then all of the things that took place after Moses led the people of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt in slavery. And so it's so important that we remember that's the context of this experience. But there was a big hiccup along the way. And as Moses had been raised up in the king's household, the Pharaoh's household, you read that first story and you see how that all came to be. But it was a part of the work that God had established and had chosen and had set out that Moses would be raised up in the Pharaoh's household in order that he would have some standing, in order that he would be able to even gain the ear of the Pharaoh when the time came that he would lead God's people, of whom he was a part, out of Egypt. And so we have that story. We have that story how Moses got in a lot of trouble through the killing of a man. And then having been exiled from Egypt, he went and became really a part of the household of a priest of Midian named Jethro. And he married one of Jethro's daughters and lived there quite contentedly for a time. But one day when he was out in the wilderness, he looked up and there was a bush that was burning, and for some reason it continued to burn and continued to burn. I'm wondering if perhaps it took the course of the better part of a morning or even an afternoon for Moses to decide, you know, I think I need to investigate this. I wonder if perhaps he was out tending the sheep and he looked up and saw on the mountainside a fire, and he thought, oh, that couldn't be good. I wonder what that might be. But he knew that he wasn't equipped all by himself to try to go and put a little fire out. And so he continued to tend his sheep, perhaps. And then finally, it continued to be in his eye that there was this fire burning, and it didn't seem to be changing one little bit. It was like it just could burn and burn and burn forever. Well, truth be told, it could have. But as we think about that, Moses decided, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing. I need to go, and I need to check this out. And he got there, and who was waiting for him but God himself? And God met him there in the burning bush and called him to go back to Egypt and to lead the people of God out of Egypt. So that's the context from which this was taking place. And so as we come to the end of the chapter, we're seeing that Moses is on his way back. Somehow God had also gotten Aaron's attention. We don't have that story, but God had gotten Aaron's attention, and the people of Israel had been crying out, had been because of their bondage, because of the poor treatment of the Egyptian people, the people of Israel were hurting. They were struggling. And so somehow the Lord got Aaron's attention, Moses' brother, and said, you need to go spend some time with Moses. You need to go meet up with him. And they met along the road. They got together, and they were so happy to see one another again. It does say that the Lord told Aaron to go and meet Aaron in the wilderness, and so he went. But as we think about that, Moses then told Aaron everything the Lord had said to him to say, and about all the signs that he had commanded him about. Well, part of Moses' conversation with God at the burning bush was his own fear. A leader by himself is likely to have some fear. A good leader will gather people around himself that will have opportunity to be victorious and helpful and encouragers. A good leader will gather people around himself. And as you think about it, we find that to be true here. We find that to be true with all of the kings of Israel throughout all of the scripture. And we find that even to be true with Jesus as he gathered his apostles. Now, I don't know that Jesus had any particular fear, but I know that he knew that he wasn't going to be staying around forever. He knew that his assignment on earth in terms of revealing himself as the God of the ages and the one who is able to bring deliverance and health and set people free from their sin and bondage, that his time was going to be limited. And so he gathered a significant group of able men who would take on the responsibility and become those that we call the apostles. And so those, and even they, found great partnership along the way. You see that Jesus had partnership with his 12 disciples. We see that Jesus also had partnership with good friends. We see that Peter also found later on, as he was serving as an apostle, we found that Peter had a variety of others that came alongside of him in Jerusalem. And then we see that Paul had a variety of others, and his partners changed along the way. You know, we hear and read stories about Paul and Silas and even their time in prison. Then we see the stories of Paul and Barnabas, which did a great deal of work to advance the gospel across the known region, the known world that they had around them on that time. And these partners walked together and accomplished great things. And even when Paul and Barnabas parted, Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took, it's in your minds in some of your cases, but Paul and that might have been Silas at that time. And so sometimes it begins to click and the wheels begin to turn. But this was all a part of that early partnership that the Apostle Paul and other apostles were able to accomplish in order to establish the church in the early times, those early days of the church. So we see these things to be true, a partnership of leaders who would be able to carry on the work that was established in certain places, and in the carrying on of that work, those who had the missionary spirit like Paul and Barnabas were able to go on and establish and plant churches in other places. And so we have this partnership of leaders, and it was so important for Moses to have a partnership that would be meaningful. It was a partnership of someone that he could trust. As you read the story, it's so interesting to read about some of even the struggles that they had as brothers who were doing the work of the ministry, who were doing the work of leading the people out of Israel, out of Egypt. But God brought them together because he knew that that was going to be an important experience. He knew that Moses was not going to want to go and do this all by himself. And friends, we need partnership. And good leaders establish partnership with people around them as they lead according to the leadership and the call of God upon their lives. And so we have this story in Exodus. I'd like for us to turn now to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to read there from verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 6. And I'm going to invite you once again to stand with me as we read God's word. Hear God's word. Don't want anybody to go to sleep, by the way. Hear God's word speaks to us very clearly and tells us in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. So this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now, I want to read now verses 1 through 11 from Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, according to the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to you, my God, for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Please be seated. The second main principle we want to see here, and primarily we see this from 1 John, is that we have a partnership also with Christ. We have a partnership with Christ that is born of, of his revelation to us. I think we see that our fellowship is with God because of what he has done and because of the light that he has shown upon us. As verse 7 reminds us, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then first verse of chapter 2, my little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And so as we go to the throne of grace, as we go into the presence of God, into the glory of his light, we have an advocate, and I think it's fair for us to say that we don't go alone. We can use the word partnership. Now, he does all the work in that case. He's the only one who is worthy. He's the only one who is pure and holy and is able, without sin, to present to the Father the one who has come from sin and has been cleansed and blessed and purified by the work of his son, of his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we have a sweet partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only then is that partnership available to us as we approach the throne of grace and the throne of glory, that partnership is ours as we go and as we serve and as we do the work that God has called us to do. None of you has been told that when you do something that God calls you to do, you have to go out and you do it alone. Now, it may be that you may not have a large team around you or even one at times, but you have the presence and the partnership of Jesus Christ. You have the presence of his Holy Spirit, and his Spirit is yours. He is present in you as you do that work which he has called you to do. And so we give praise and we give thanks to him that we have this partnership with Christ. And then that partnership is also alluded to in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 6, where it says, I'm sure of this, I'm confident of this, this is absolutely true, that he, referring to Jesus, who started a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, it is not you that does the work of Christ. It is Christ in you that enables, empowers, and calls you and propels you into the world to do that. Our part in that as partners is to make ourselves available. And I think one of the great struggles of evangelism, of all of the work of the church, of ministry, of doing the work of Christ, is that we don't make ourselves available. We struggle in that. And why don't we do that? Because we make excuses. We don't have time. We don't have money. Or, you know, I'm just not able to do that. No, you're not. But Christ is able. It is Christ who is in you that will do that good work through you as he will call and draw others to himself and bring them to a relationship with him. A relationship that is born of forgiveness and grace and mercy and of the sacrifice that he has performed for you and for me. You see, we have this partnership with him. I am so thankful. And as Paul says toward the end, he speaks with his deep affection for the Philippian church. And he says, I pray this, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. There's another sermon coming on there. It's such a wonderful passage for us, but that we may be growing in knowledge and discernment, that we may approve the things that are superior and ultimately bring glory to God through faith and through the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Are you a partner with God? Are you a partner with Christ? Christ is God. He is there is nothing about Jesus that is not true to be God. He's just God who came in human form. But he, being completely one with the Father and with the Spirit, he draws us into this partnership and has placed in us his Holy Spirit that we might do that work which God has called us to partner in. Some of that work that you will do is something that only you can do. You're a partner with Christ in relationships that no one else in this church will ever have. You're a partner in Christ with relationships, sometimes with family, oftentimes with neighbors, sometimes with co-workers, that no one else in this church will have access to. And perhaps nobody else in the world will care enough to take it to take action on and to lead your friend, your family member, your neighbor to faith in Jesus Christ. You have a partnership with Christ. He has called you to do those things. Who is it that you need to minister to? Who is it that you need to tell about the grace of Christ? Who is it that needs just simply a touch from a caring person who loves God, and that touch can reveal the presence of God and draw that person into that presence and to that glory that he is? You are partners with Christ. The Apostle Paul gives us a number of other examples. He said, you're ambassadors, you're folks that just need to go and represent Jesus. That's what being a partner with Christ really means. Do you represent Jesus wherever you go? I challenge you with that question, that you would somehow, in some meaningful way, be able to know that in every part of your life, every conversation that you have, no matter who it is with, that you can be confident that you are representing Jesus. Sometimes things are hard, but have you decided that even when things are hard, you're going to represent Jesus? Is it going to be that you will understand that the primary purpose of your life, once coming to faith in Jesus Christ, that your primary purpose is to reflect and represent the person who is Christ, who is in you? Yeah, he'll use your personality, he'll use your experience, but you must represent Jesus. That is the goal that brings glory to him and puts the focus and attention where it belongs. Friends, today, let's be meaningful partners. Let's continue to be meaningful partners in the work of North Addison Baptist Church. And let's continue to be meaningful partners. Let's begin to be meaningful partners in this relationship that we will share with the Ukrainian Baptist Church of Spokane. And let us commit ourselves to a meaningful partnership as we serve the Lord and work for his kingdom and his glory. Will you pray with me? Our Father, as we've spent these moments together, we ask that you might allow the truths of your word to be driven home to us. And more than anything else, that we would find the joy and the peace of having come into relationship with you. And understand that that relationship is for us in that we have received forgiveness of sin. But as far as it being for us, that's all we need. And that relationship now calls us to a partnership, an ambassadorship, a relationship through which many others will have opportunity to know you and to get to know you. Lord Jesus, will you help that to be true in the lives of all of us here? And may we give ourselves to you, that you might find us useful in partnership. Lord, we give thanks and praise to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As we come to this time of response, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And as we stand together and as we spend these moments together, I want to just say the invitation for you today certainly is not different from the invitation for salvation, for a recommitment to Christ, for church membership. It's not different from that. But very specifically today, I want you to evaluate yourself in regard to partnership with Christ. Does Jesus have sway in your life that the things that you do, you clearly are doing because you want to reflect his mercy, his grace, and his glory? If you find that lacking in your life, then I would invite you to either come and pray or right where you are, spend some time in prayer, but to deal with that in yourself. Say, Lord, I don't have the right attitude about walking with you. Thank you for salvation, but man, I know it's for more than that. It's for leading other people to put their trust and their faith in you. It's no longer to be about me. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. And if you need to take some steps like that, then I would invite you to bow before the Lord your God and just commit yourself. Repent of things that are keeping you from that and bow yourself and commit yourself to the Lord, that he be magnified and glorified through you, and that we stop trying to exalt ourselves. For it is Jesus. It is Jesus. No one else that anybody in your life needs to see. Yes, you give the very best of you to reflect Jesus. And I encourage you, be committed in that. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask that you would be exalted and magnified, that your presence and that your light and glory might be reflected so clearly from our lives. And may we together rejoice because of your work among us. Thank you, Father. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song. It's a song that really reflects everything I've spoken about. It says that Jesus paid it all. You didn't pay anything. You had nothing. You don't have anything to bring to the table that would bring salvation to your life, only that you would believe and commit yourself to walk away from sinfulness. That's all you have to bring. Otherwise, Jesus paid it all. Trust Jesus with your heart. If you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, I invite you even today to say, Lord Jesus, I know I've got a problem. I know that I'm broken, and I know that you're the only one who can bring salvation to my life. If that's true in your life today, pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin as I commit myself to repent of my sin. Be glorified in me as I learn now what it means to serve you. Thank you. As we sing together, will you demonstrate your commitment? Perhaps even by coming and we can pray together, or in some other way that the Lord may use in your life. You might just speak to a person next to you, but let's sing together.